Because we're going to find out today that if we don't praise Him, something will take your place. I don't want nothing to take my place. I don't want anybody to take my place. Amen. You are uniquely made. No one is like you. No one has your fingerprint. No one has your DNA. Amen. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And no one can take your place praising like you can. God's got a specific praise that comes from us. Did you know that our praise, amen, is dependent upon our trials? Your praise can be dependent on the lifelong troubles that you've had. It can have something to do with what you've been through. I'm telling you, if you've never been through anything, amen, you don't always realize you got to praise. But when you've been through something and you came through it and you came out of it and God made a way, I'm telling you, it gives you something to praise about. Somebody said, I don't understand why you're so happy, why you're so excited. I don't know why you're praising the Lord. Because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been through this week. You don't know what I had to endure. You don't know the suffering and the pain and the circumstances. You don't know the devils that I've had to fight. But today, I stand victorious. I am the more than a conqueror. And I've got a reason to give Him praise. This is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a day of celebration. It's expectancy. It's recognition. It's a time that Jesus completed His journey into Jerusalem. And now He is on His way to the cross. Now the disciples don't know He's on His way to the cross. No one else knows, but He knows. He is on a journey. He is on a path. We're on a journey. We're on a path. We're going somewhere. Amen. God has a place prepared for us. Amen. We're not just living life. Sometimes we just get so caught up in the mundane and the day-to-day, we forget that we have a destination. God is getting us somewhere. Jesus is on His way. It's a time that the crowds acknowledged who He was and they celebrated His arrival. But what if they hadn't? What if nobody had been there? What if nobody gave Him praise? He said, if you don't praise Me, if they don't praise Me, something else will. Let's look at it this morning. You ready? Everybody turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to look at a few verses here this morning. We're going to start in 37. We're just going to read 37 through 40. I'm reading out of the New Living. We're talking this morning about this journey. So think about it. Here comes Jesus. Now He's been performing signs and wonders and miracles. I mean, He is coming. He's getting more popular. The church, the scribes and Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, they're against Him. They're beginning to try to plot against Him. And now He's making His way to Jerusalem. Why is He going to Jerusalem? It's Passover. This is the time every year that the Jews got together and celebrated when they came out of Egypt. They were in Egypt for 430 years in slavery. And they came out when Moses led them out. And one after another, Pharaoh said no, no, no. And plague after plague came. And finally, on the last night, the firstborn in every family, amen, passed away. And finally, the king said, go. But He told the children of Israel, kill a lamb, take the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the top of the door. And when the death angel passes over, when the death angel goes through the land and all the firstborn die, when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. And so they celebrated this every year. So Jesus is on His way. He had told the disciples to go and find a donkey. You're going to find a colt, never been ridden on. And you're going to untie him, and you're going to bring him to Me. And when someone asks you, the owner asks you, hey, why are you untying my donkey? Tell him, the master has need of him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I wake up in the middle of the night and somebody's hijacking my truck, and I say, "What are you doing?" And they go, "The master has need of it." Listen, this had to be, the Lord moved on this man's heart to know it's all right. He's just borrowing it. He's going to bring it back. This donkey had never been ridden on. And they cast their blankets on it, and Jesus, amen, took authority even over the wild animals. Because you know, you crawl up on a wild animal's back, never been ridden, what's going to happen? Oh, you about to have a bucking show. Yeah, we're going to have a rodeo right there in the middle of town. But Jesus crawled upon the back of this donkey, and it didn't do anything. And here he comes. He's with all his disciples and all the people around, and those who had been following him and those who had seen the signs and wonders and the miracles. And he's making his way into Jerusalem. I want you to think about this. Thousands, if not a million people, amen, were here at this time. They were all getting their lamb ready. They were getting their sacrifice ready. Amen. People come over from all around. Here comes this man with this group of followers. And people in the town begin to rush out and begin to line the streets. And we catch up here in Luke chapter 19, verse 37. When they reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives. Me and Amy has been right there, walked on that road. As you're standing up there and you're at the Mount of Olives, where he's going to go back later to pray. Looking down over the city, he looked, and his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of God. Of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. King James goes on to say that they were crying, "Hosanna." Hosanna means to save now. It means rescue us. Many thought Jesus was coming in to rescue them from Roman superiority, to rescue them from the oppression of the Romans, that he was going to set up his earthly kingdom. They thought he was going to take over, but he was coming for a whole nother purpose. There was another reason. He wasn't just looking for one moment in time or one group of people. Amen. They were saying it right. Save us. Amen. Deliver us. But he was coming to save all of mankind. And he's riding in on this donkey. People begin to take their coats off. They begin to lay them on the ground. They begin to cut the palm branches off of the trees. And they begin to wave them. Come on, wave your palm branch at me. Just get the picture. Thousands of people in this city. And here comes Jesus down this hill into the city. And people line the roads. And they're cutting off palm branches. And they're taking off their coats. And they're laying them on the ground. And the donkey's walking over them. Oh, I can't imagine. First of all, remember this donkey, never been ridden. Probably hadn't been in that kind of crowd. I'm telling you, you just don't take and wave nothing at a donkey. It was probably braying. It was probably causing all kind of commotion. But you know what? It had a higher purpose that day. He had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on his back. And he said, "I don't like this." I'm telling you, a lot of us don't like it when the Lord is using us. He was clean. He was the Lamb of God. And this was an unclean animal. Yet God used it. Woo, aren't you glad God can use you? Even when you're unclean. Amen. That which is clean, amen, makes us clean. Amen. And he sets on us and he covers us. Woo, he covers our wildness. Some of you need your wildness covered. You need to stop all that bucking and say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Come on, I'll say what you want me to say. And the people lined the streets, and they begin to praise God. And they took their cloaks and their coats and laid it down. And this donkey was walking on. They were paving a way. They were making a way, singing, Hosanna in the highest. But the Bible says in verse 39, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. Make them stop praising. Make them stop saying hallelujah. Make them stop saying thank you, Jesus. Make them stop saying praise the Lord. Make them stop saying Hosanna. Make them stop saying save us. Make them stop saying deliver. The devil doesn't want you to cry out. Oh, but God said if we'll cry out, if we call upon the Lord, He will answer us. The devil wants you to stay quiet, but the Lord wants you to open your mouth and cry aloud, Hosanna! And the Pharisees said, hey, make all these people be quiet. It's getting loud up in here in church. We don't need all this loudness. Listen, if you don't like it loud down here, you're not going to like heaven very much. Because when you get thousands upon thousands of ten thousands of ten thousands, amen, saying holy, holy, holy is the Lord, it's going to get a little loud sometimes. The devil don't mind getting loud. We got people all over our neighborhood. They throw big wild parties, amen, all during the night. I'm trying to sleep, and I mean, music's thumping, and it's crazy. They don't care if it's loud. But if we get a little loud in church, if somebody shouts praise the Lord, everybody turns and looks at them like, what's wrong with them? Make them stop. Make them stop. Don't let them praise you. And he replied, this is Jesus. He said, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. Woo! King James said, the rocks will cry out. Can I tell you, I don't want a rock to take my role. You've got a role to play. Amen. You've got a purpose and a plan. I don't want a rock to take my place. I don't want a rock to take my role. My role is to sing praises unto God. My role is to cry out and give him the praise and honor he deserves. And I'm not going to stop just because the devil don't like it. Jesus was coming to die. He said, y'all don't know what these are doing and saying. He was coming to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was coming for all of mankind. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of those people that day that just got caught up in the crowd. Because a few days later, they're going to be crying out again. But this time, they're going to be crying, crucify him. Some of those same people that was praising are now crying, crucify. Because some people just go along with the crowd. They're just there for the party. They're just there for the fun. Amen. They don't have any relationship. They don't know who this is. But I'm telling you, those walking with him that saw the miracles, those who loved him, amen, they didn't change their tune. Now, they got a little scared. They backed away. They even made their own mistakes. But thank God, Jesus still used them. Aren't you glad? Because we're just like them. We're just like them. I wondered that day if I'd have been there, would I have been shouting praises and then shout crucify? See, sometimes, Peter said, Lord, everybody else, they'll leave you, but I won't. Jesus said, before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. You see, God knows our heart. Even when we're in the crowd, even when you're at church, even when you're shouting hallelujah, he sees your heart today. People took off their coats and they laid them in the way they were cutting off the branches and putting them there, and they were crying. And Jesus said, if they don't cry out, you can take that scripture down. If they don't cry out, the stones down the side of the road will break out into cheers. The rocks will cry out in their place. I don't want a rock. Listen, rocks were not created to praise. You were created to praise. I was created to praise. Come on, sometimes you just got to say something. And there's times that you shouldn't say something, but you just can't help yourself. There's times you need to keep your mouth shut, but somebody's like, I just can't. I just got to say something. Woo! Come on, let's make sure that if we're going to say something, we say something worth hearing. If we're going to say something, make sure we're saying something that's uplifting, that's encouraging. Make sure if we're going to shout something, if we're going to cheer something, amen, it's Hosanna, not crucify. There's a whole lot of people. I'm telling you, sometimes your husband does something and you just got to say something. Sometimes your kids do something and you just got to say something. Huh? We were created, amen, with a mouth, and we were created to say something. We just got to make sure we're saying the right something. Huh? Because we like to say something, don't we? Listen, we're wired that way. We were wired to talk. We were wired to say something. And Jesus said, if my followers... Come on, the Pharisees said, come on, Jesus. I know none of y'all done this. We did this. We used to do this to our children. I know I'm going to do it with my grandchildren. Let's play the quiet game. Come on. We're driving down the road. Let's play quiet water, still water. 1, 2, 3. Whew. What are we saying? Y'all about to get on my last nerve. I need y'all to be quiet. Come on. You've been saying something. You've been saying too much something. Come on, let's play the quiet game. The Pharisees said, your disciples are saying too much. We don't like what they're saying. Amen. They're giving praise to God. They're giving glory to God. Amen. They're making the devil mad. And they're making people around here feel uncomfortable. We need you to make your disciples play the quiet game. And Jesus said, if they keep quiet, the rocks are going to stand up and cheer. They're going to break out into cheers. The rocks are going to cry out. And I don't want no rock to take my place. I'm going to keep praising God. Oh, come on, make them hush. Make them shut up. Come on, listen. When something good happens to you, when your team scores, I've seen some of you. Listen, at the World Cup, when they make a goal, Pastor Marcelo's like, well, that's wonderful. He's up jumping, hollering, screaming. They're running around the house. Luke and Johnny, when the Cowboys score, I mean, you don't have to wonder if they scored or not. You hear them all over the house. When you get that deal, when you get that big check, you say something. You get excited when somebody does you wrong, when somebody cuts in front of you. Oh, you say something. But you know what we need more of? Number 13. Everybody say, I need more number 13. I got to have more praise. I got to have more praise. I'm going to give God more praise. I'm going to praise him when I feel like it. I'm going to praise him when I don't. I'm going to praise him when things are going good. I'm going to praise him when things are going bad. I'm going to praise him when I got money in my pocket. I'm going to praise him when I'm broke. I'm going to praise the Lord. That's why we're going to stop whining so much. We got more whiners than we got praisers. Huh? I know y'all been drinking that Heineken. You got to stop drinking that whining, and you got to start giving God more praise. Amen. We can whine about every little thing. Everything. Can you imagine? They're walking along. Jesus entered the city. I mean, Jesus on his way to the day. I can just hear some of them. Why we got to walk so far? Why do all these people got to be here? Why these sandals are hurting my feet. Jesus on his way to the cross to die for humanity. And there's people going around. Why are they waving that in my face? The Pharisees, make them hush. That's hurting our ears. We don't like what they're saying. Whine, whine, whine. Come on, stop whining and start praising. Stop complaining about everything. Everything in life is not going to be a bed of roses. Life is not going to be perfect all the time. It's not going to be perfect most of the time. It'll be perfect for about a moment, and then you'll show up. Woo, come on, church was perfect till I got here. Huh? Yeah. Because we're imperfect people and we do imperfect things. And, amen, we whine sometimes and we complain. But listen, amen, the devil, he wants you to complain and he wants you to whine. Because as long as you're doing that, you're not giving God the praise that he's due. You're not elevating. You're not lifting him up. You're just complaining. Oh, but we've got to worship. Come on. We've got to have more praise. Come on, praise is an expression of our love to God. Amen. They were showing their love. Amen. They were laying down what they had. They would take off their coats and lay them down. Amen. They were paving a way. Listen, as you begin to praise, you've got to lay something down. What are you going to lay down today? Don't waste your worship. Don't waste your worship. We worship a lot of stuff that doesn't matter. We worship a lot of things that are not eternal. Come on, don't waste your worship on worldly things. Don't waste your worship on people that are imperfect and are going to fail you. Come on, let's worship, amen, the one true and living God, the one that loves us and gave his life for us, that'll never leave us or forsake us. Don't waste your praise. Jesus is in the center of this parade. Every Sunday's a parade. Every Sunday. Amen. We get out of our cars and we parade in and we parade out. Can I tell you, ask you, who's the center of your parade? Pastor Leah said it earlier. You're not the center of the universe. Everything doesn't revolve around you. It's about him. It's about lifting him up. I went into church and the seat just didn't feel very comfortable today, and the temperature wasn't just right, and the music was a little loud, and preacher, he just kept hollering at me. Disturbed my nap. I couldn't even sleep. Come on, let's don't waste our praise. Here's Jesus riding in on this donkey. And some begin to sing Hosanna. Oh, I want to be in that group. I want to be in the group that's giving him praise and glory. There's a lot of people in the world today not giving him praise and glory this morning. But I want to be in the group that's giving him praise and lifting him up. Amen. And saying Hosanna in the highest. I want Jesus to be the center of my parade. Amen. Amen. People's going crazy. The world's going crazy. All those rocks people were talking about, Jesus was talking about. We have all these people today, their heads full of them. They must have rocks for brains because they're not thinking right. They're praising the wrong things. They're worshiping the wrong things. Oh, but come on, don't let that be us. Let's say, I'm not going to let a rock. I know who I'm praising. I know the purpose. I know the reason. And Jesus is coming down that hill. And he stops. And he weeps over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He was crying and weeping for so many reasons. For the hardness of the hearts of the people. The church, the believers, the ones who should have been welcoming him were the ones staying. Make all these people hush. Their hearts were hardened. Their eyes were blinded. Their lives were so far away from God. He saw all the souls there that he was coming to save. And Jesus said it. They missed the day of their visitation. The King of Glory, the Son of God, is here. And they don't even know it. They missed the day of their visitation. And because of it, not one rock we left upon another. We know that city was destroyed as we stood there and looked over the city and all those rocks, some of them big as a bus, yet just spread out and strewn out as time and wars. And what would have happened if that day the city had turned to Jesus, if that day they would have received, if that day the Satan wouldn't have blinded their eyes and they would have seen the Messiah, and still they're still looking and they're going to be deceived. But their eyes were blinded and they missed the day of their visitation. I tell you today, don't miss the day of your visitation. When Jesus shows up, give him the praise that he's due. He's a Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. All that emotion of joy and happiness versus the whining and complaining. Let's be in the praising group, not in the complaining group. Amen? Let's not be the ones saying, make these hush and be quiet. Let's be the ones waving the palm branches and crying out, Hosanna, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't let the rock take my role. I'm created in the image of God, formed in his likeness. I was created to praise. I was created to worship. And I'm not going to waste my worship. Amen? Because when we cry out, what happens? We see it all through the scripture. When people cried out, God answered. In Egypt, when they cried out, the Lord heard their cry. He sent a deliverer. Oh, when the blind man cried out, Jesus stopped. He got his attention. When you cry out, amen, when we cry out to God, amen, people, there's a lot of people crying out a lot of things, but God knows when you're crying out to him. And it's not just your natural words, it's the cry of your heart. Out of your heart, you're crying out for more of God. Well, he said, even if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. If you're a sinner, cry out to God and ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive you and he will save you. We've got to cry out. I want my praise to be complete. I want more praise. I don't want less praise. The world's trying to get us to stop. The world's trying to persecute and trying to put down Christians, and we're just crazy. And listen, don't let the world stop your praise. Don't let the world stop you from crying out. Continue to cry out. Continue to stand up. Amen. And for righteousness' sake, I don't care if the whole world, amen, believes a lie. I'm going to stand and declare the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Everything we say and do and touch and feel, amen, let it be in praise. Amen. The way that we obey and disobey is worship. The way we give our money is worship. The way we treat others is worship. God is looking at not just what we're saying, but how we're doing. Because I'm telling you, you can be waving your palm branch in one hand and be hating your neighbor out of the corner of your eye. Bible says if you say you love God but you hate your neighbor, you're a liar. We don't have time to talk about it, but right here in this same story, after Jesus came into the Jerusalem, he went to the temple. and they were making a mockery. They had set up money changers. They were selling and buying, and they were buying sacrifices and everything. And Jesus took a whip, and he ran them all out, and he beat them all. And he said, my house shall be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, we can take that little palm branch that we can praise or worship. Or my mama took that little palm branch and straightened my attitude out. Come on, somebody needs to take that palm branch and take it from here to here. That's a whole nother subject. In everything in our life should be an act of worship. I want more praise in my life. I want to give more praise. I want to give more praise to people. The Bible says to give praise to whom praise is due and honor is due. And when people do things for you, when people bless you, when people help you, come on, give them some praise. Tell them thank you. Come on, let's give more praise. Let's not be afraid to receive some. Somebody says thank you, say you're welcome. But don't take it for yourself. Give glory to God. But we should be acting like Jesus, loving and serving and giving, being complete in praise. Whew, I don't want no rock to take my place. What would a rock say? If the rock could talk, what would the rock say? Moses was in the desert. The people were dry and thirsty. And there was a rock. And God told Moses, strike the rock. And when he did, Ozaka flowed out. Hallelujah. I don't know what kind it was, but it was good, clean, pure water. And it watered over 1 million people and all of their animals. And you know what the rock said? Amen. The rock said, praise God. Amen. Because I supplied and nourished. Amen. And I gave to the thirsty. The rock's crying out, giving what it had. It was the rock when Joshua was leading the people through the Jordan River. Amen. They took all those rocks and they piled them up. They said, this is going to be a testimony. Amen. Amen. When they walked, when that water parted, that rock said, "Woo! If you got faith, go for it. God will be with you." That's what that rock said. David picked up that rock, put it in his sling. And he slung it around and he hit that giant right in the forehead and he fell down. And that rock said, praise God. Amen. For victory is in the Lord. I'm telling you, God will use the rock. If nobody else will do it, God will use the rock. The rocks are talking. We just don't hear them. Jesus said, if my people keep quiet, these rocks are going to break out into praise. It was Nehemiah. When those walls were broken down and he took those rocks and he stacked them one upon another and that rock said, praise God. Amen. We're being rebuilt. We're getting put back in our place. We're being a protection. It was that woman who committed adultery and all those people picked that rock up. They were going to stone her and kill her. And Jesus said, ye without sin cast the first stone. And they all dropped them on the ground and that rock said, God forgives, cleanses from every sin. What are you saying about people? What are you saying about circumstances? The rocks are talking. After Jesus died, this week I encourage you to read the accounts of the story from his triumphal entry right now to the Passover, to his betrayal, to his trial, to his scourging, to his crucifixion. Because I'm telling you, he died and they laid him in a tomb and they rolled a big rock. The next Sunday, I'm going to tell you what the rock said. That rock talked. That rock's still talking. Rocks are talking. Rocks are crying out. Amen. God used rocks. But you know what? He didn't intend them. He intended you to praise him. But if you don't, he'll let the rocks will do it. The rocks will say it. The rocks will pray. They have a purpose. But I'm telling you, you have a purpose. You're created in the image of God Almighty, and He wants you to give Him the praise that He is due. Can I get a big amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let the rock take your role. Don't let the rock praise Him louder than you. I'm going to tell you something. Our praise is competitive. You going to let anybody praise Him more than you? You going to let anybody give Him glory more than you? You've been through some stuff. You've been through some stuff, and you've come out of it, and you're here today victorious. I'm telling you, you've got to give Him the praise that He's due. Don't let nobody else take your place. Because when Jesus, that rock of ages, the wind comes, He told Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church. It wasn't Peter. It was the revelation that Peter had of who He was. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that revelation, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build it on a solid rock, a solid foundation. And when the winds and the storms of life come, they will not destroy it. It'll stand firm. Can I get a big amen? Somebody clap for joy this morning. Hallelujah. I got to have more number 13. Sometimes you just be at work and just tell somebody, "Woo, I need some more number 13. They're going to go, "What?" They're going to think you're ordering off the McDonald's menu. What's number 13? When I go to Whataburger, I get number 8. That's a double junior. I know what number. Do you know what number you need? First of all, I need number 1. What's number 1? More Jesus. Oh, I need more Jesus. But I need number 13. I need to give Jesus more praise. He's done so much for me. I got to give Him the praise He deserves. I'm not going to let the world shut me up. So Jesus is entering that city. They prepare for Passover. He's gathered there with His disciples. They're having the Passover meal. And it was there Jesus began to try to get them to understand, though they couldn't understand at that time. When Jesus took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is My body. It was broken for you. When you eat of it, when you eat of My brokenness, it'll make you whole. It'll bring healing." My brokenness, the stripes that are going to be placed upon My back are going to be for your healing. They couldn't understand any of this. This don't make any sense. They had been doing Passover their whole lives, every year. But all of a sudden, there's new meaning. Jesus said, "This is My body, broken for you." He took the cup and He said, "This is My blood, was shed for you, remission of sins. It's My blood that washes and cleanses." And He said, "I'm not going to drink it again here on this earth until we eat it together in heaven." But He said, "As often as you drink the cup and eat the bread, remember Me." This morning, as we take communion together, as we remember what the Lord has done for us, you're going to have a reason to praise Him. You see, I was once lost and on my way to hell, but Jesus saved me. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to give you opportunity to do that. Because you don't want to just take this cup or bread unworthily. You don't want to take it if you're living in sin and not willing to confess your sin and ask Him to forgive you. As we partake of his body and drink of his blood as we remember his sacrifice for us. Oh, let's give him the praise he deserves in our hearts. He would leave that Passover meal, make his way across the brook Kidron where the blood from the sacrifices flowed, knowing that his blood was about to be shed, that he was going to become the Lamb of God. He was going to pay for the sins of the world. He knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane where he said, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He was under such agony and stress that veins in his forehead bursting, and he was sweating drops of blood. He kept telling his disciples, "Pray with me, stand with me," but they kept falling asleep. It was there that Judas betrayed him. He went to a cross and died. But that's not the end of the story. He rose again. But that's not the end of the story. He's coming back again.
Amen.
This morning, as we take communion together, we're going to search our hearts. We're going to cry out. We're going to cry. We're not going to let the devil stop us from crying out and saying, "God, I need you. I need your mercy." And we're going to remember the sacrifice he made. I'm going to invite our ushers, if they would go ahead and make their way up. Amen. Some of you men, Johnny and Paul and Corey, would y'all come? George, both Georges, y'all come on up here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you, precious Jesus. I think there's about five of those drinks. Pastor, where's Pastor Marcelo? Did he slip out for a moment? Oh, there he is right there. You're good. In a moment, I'm going to get you to pray. Brother John, would you come? I need 11. I think we have five of the drinks and six of the breads. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to take just a moment. In just a moment, I'm going to pray over this bread and this cup. But Father, today we want to say thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Today we remember. And I just ask you, Lord, which crowd am I in? Am I in the crowd praising and shouting Hosanna? Or am I in the crowd saying crucify? Today I search my own heart. And Father, I pray that as each person takes this cup and bread, I pray that they would search their own heart. And together we'll cry out and get our hearts and lives right with you. And then we'll remember and be thankful for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, if y'all would take a cup or a bread. And if you would, when you get the cup or bread, please hold it. Everyone is welcome to take communion if you would like to. You don't have to be a member of the Lord's house. You just have to know Jesus as your Savior. You say, "Pastor, I don't know Him as my Savior." You're fixing to. I'm going to give you a chance. Go ahead. Get one. Cry out to Jesus. And then let's take it together.